and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, perseverance, in your perseverance, godliness, in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. These were the foundation of their spiritual character. And it begins, obviously, with their faith, but to that faith is then to be added these qualities. He continues on in the remainder of this chapter to make reference to these qualities that he has enumerated. If you look in verse 8, he says, for instance, if these qualities that he had just mentioned, if these are yours and are increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Christian doesn't want to be rendered as one who is not useless or not unfruitful? What Christian doesn't want to be useful, fruitful to the service of the Lord? Well, what Peter says is, here's the secret to it. These qualities, you develop these, you allow these to increase within yourself, and you'll be both useful and fruitful to the Lord. The very next verse, in verse 9, he says that those who lack these, qualities that he's listed, is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his sin. Still the next verse, he continues to refer back to these qualities. He says, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. In the 12th verse, therefore I shall always be ready to remind you of these things. In the 15th verse, I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. Peter kind of expresses the refrain of most preachers, you know, that I hope that after I'm gone, that the folks that have heard me preach, the young folks that suffered through listening to me preach, will be able to say, oh, I remember old Brother Owen. He used to say such and such. That's what Peter is saying. He said, I'm hopeful. I'm desirous. And to that end, then I will be diligent that at any time after my departure, you can call to memory these things, these qualities, godliness and perseverance and brotherly kindness and love, and self-control and so forth. But I'd like for you to look with me this evening for a few moments, particularly at that 12th verse. And I'd like to use some of the phrasing that Peter uses in this verse to kind of be our beginning point for our lesson this evening, where he says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Peter talks about what he is willing to do toward the end of developing these qualities and these his brethren. I will always be ready to remind you. I'm a little bit of a Sean Connery fan. I like to watch a lot of his movies. But maybe you'll remember one that goes back a few years, The Untouchable. I think it was Kevin Costner was playing the role of Elliot Ness. And he was just trying to get his office up and running and trying to figure out who he could trust in the very corrupt police department. And he came upon this grizzled old veteran of the department who had a reputation for honesty, and it was Sean Connery. And so he approaches him and talks to him about helping him out on trying to root out corruption in the department and make things better. And they have a bit of a confrontation. And I just remember this one line from Sean Connery's character when he kind of looks right into Elliot Ness's eyes and he says, "What are you prepared to do? You know, to what extent are you prepared to go? There are going to be repercussions to what you are setting out to do." And so he's asking him, "What are you prepared to do?" Well, the Apostle Peter is sort of giving us a statement here of what he was prepared to do. "I will always be ready. I will make myself always ready to remind you of these things, these qualities that it was so essential for them to develop." You know, there's a great need for us to develop that same sense of readiness, that same determination, that's having a definition of what I am ready to do, what I will always be prepared to do. I would say to you that the bane of godly service always has been neglect. In fact, in looking at this passage, some versions render this, "I will not be negligent to remind you," which is just sort of the negative way of saying, "I will always be ready to remind you. I won't neglect," Peter says, "this responsibility and this opportunity I have." And that neglect, as I say, has often troubled God's people. There's a passage back in the book of Deuteronomy I'd like for you to look at. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and in verses 17 and 18, as Moses is preparing the people for entrance into the promised land, now after 40 long years of delay, they're ready to enter into the land. And he is, as I say, preparing them by going over, once again, the law that God, the covenant that God has set before them. Verses 17 and 18, as he is recounting how their forebearers had failed to observe and to keep God's covenant. He says this to verse 17, "They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth." That 18th verse seems to me to sum up in many ways the curse or the blight that neglect can be upon the lives of people who are setting out to serve God. What had these folks done? He says they had neglected the rock who begot you. You have neglected the God who has begotten you. And then you forgot the God who gave you birth. Do you notice the progression in this? There was neglect that then was followed by a forgetting. I'm reminded of the passage in Hebrews that we're all familiar with about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is. Don't forsake. And I remember reading one time a preacher of some years ago making some comments about that passage, and he raised the issue in what he was writing that sometimes it gets raised by people. Well, what about these folks that, you know, they're not there every service. They're not there regularly at every time. Are they forsaking assembly together? And he was making the point that no, they are not. he said they might. It might be said accurately that they are neglecting, but they haven't yet forsaken. And he made the observation that the road of neglect leads to the city of forsaking. There is a progression that occurs. And it seems as though that's what Moses is alluding to here in Deuteronomy. A neglect that eventually led to a forgetting of God. And so we must be ever concerned about neglect within our own selves. What is it that you are prepared to do? What is it that you would be willing to say with the Apostle Peter, I will always be ready? May I suggest a few things to you that we ought to do. We ought to always be ready to remind others. In the book of Matthew, you'll see where Jesus talks about this. To observe Scripture, we ought to always be ready. Matthew, the 23rd chapter and the 23rd verse. I'm sure you'll recall where Jesus rebukes his Pharisaical listeners with these words. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe and mint, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, these were various kinds of herbs, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. It was certainly right and proper for them to tithe those various kinds of herbs. Jesus was not condemning them for the doing of right that they had performed. What he was rebuking them for was the failure to do what was right, what was even weightier matters of what is right. Justice, he talks about, faithfulness and mercy. This you failed to do, I think, in the wording that we've used, that it might be said of these folks that they would have said, I am not ready to practice faithfulness. I'm not ready to practice mercy or justice. I'm not prepared to go to the lengths that those require of me. I'll do this over here regarding the tithing matters. But these other things are too much. Over in the book of Mark in the 7th chapter, there we'll find where a further encounter occurs between the Lord and others. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 8, he concludes a familiar rebuke that he gives regarding these people who honor me with their lips and their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. But notice how they got to the point of being willing to do such things. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men. How is it that people of faith get to a point where they will embrace and promote the commandments and the teachings of men? There's no way to get there without being willing to neglect the commandments of God. And so we must say, mustn't we, that I will always be ready to observe Scriptures, to conform to Scripture. But now let me suggest to you another thing. We might also take into consideration whether or not we're always ready to perform our duties. Over in the book of Acts in the 6th chapter. Again, I'm certain of a familiar passage to you. Where there were some within the Jerusalem church, some of the widows that were being neglected in the care that was being provided. So a real troublesome issue had arisen there. But notice in verse 2, the 12, that is the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Now, they were not speaking in a derogatory manner about serving of tables. They were not saying this is something of, you know, of such a demeaning and unimportant matter that we can't be troubled with it. I mean, clearly, as you read on in those verses, this was an issue of great importance and needed to be addressed, and it was addressed in the appropriate way. But what these apostles are saying is we have some obligations that are peculiar to us, and it's not fit that we should neglect those obligations. I'm made to think of an occurrence at an earlier time in the life of one of these apostles that we read about. It's recorded in John, the 21st chapter. Maybe you'll remember how after Jesus' resurrection, he had appeared again to his apostles, and he spent some period of time with them. John chapter 21 is describing the latter portion of that time that Jesus spent. And in the course of those last times that he had with these closest of his disciples, you remember how he had an encounter with Peter, who had denied him, and he brought Peter back, and he encouraged him to, you know, return to a faithful service, to performing the duties that he had been selected to perform. And then Jesus goes on and he talks to Peter about the kind of death that he's going to die. John chapter 21 and about verse 20 is where he outlines to Peter in some degree of how he's going to die. And then Peter does a lot like many of us, if not most of us. He turns and he looks at one of the other disciples. It's generally thought that it was John. And he says, now remember, he's just had information given about his death. He turns and he says about this other disciple, and what about him, Lord? That is, how is he going to die? What's going to happen to him? I mean, the description of Peter's death was not a particularly appealing one. Is this guy going to have it as hard? Is it going to be as difficult for him? What about this man, Lord? And Jesus' response in verses 21 and 22 essentially is, that's none of your business, Peter. It's essentially, he tells Peter, what does it matter what happens to this man? You follow me. The admonition is you do your job. You do what is peculiar to you, Peter, and see to it that you perform your duty. What others do in the final analysis is really immaterial. What about us? What about our duties? There are some things that all of us do. As Christians, we assemble together. There are things that we do in common, in our praying together, in our singing together, in our giving together. So many things that you can think of that every one of us does, regardless of who we are. But there are some things that are peculiar to us. I have some obligations as the person that this congregation has asked to be the evangelist here. So what am I willing to do? What am I ready to do? I need to be ready to perform my duties such as they are as outlined in the Scripture. There are individuals here who serve in the capacity of elders. What are you to do? Well, you're to do what the Scriptures outline as your duty as an overseer. Well, you know, well, this fella doesn't do his job as well as he ought to. He doesn't do his job like he ought to. Okay? What is that to you? You do what you are required to do. There are some who serve in the capacity of deacons. Do you see my point? That much like the Apostle Peter, we need to come to grips with the fact that whether others do what they're supposed to do or not, I need to do what I'm supposed to do. And the question is, am I willing to do that? Will I always be ready, like the Apostle Peter said he would be ready? Well, we can also talk about 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. In much the same way as our duties, we might make the same observation about particular gifts that we have. Verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes to Timothy, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to all." Paul alludes to certain gifts, to certain spiritual gifts that Timothy had. It may be that he's referring here to gifts that we will sometimes identify as gifts of the Holy Spirit that were received by the laying on of the apostles' hands. But here, Paul makes reference to these gifts that were received by Timothy through the prophetic utterance or the prophetic teaching, things that were prophesied about that Timothy apparently has a role to play in fulfilling those prophecies. But this was done with the laying on, not of the apostles' hands, but of the presbyters' hands, of the elders' hands. I'm inclined to think that he's not talking about the miraculous, spiritual kinds of gifts. But rather, he's talking about the gifts that Timothy had by which he was able to promote the teaching and the preaching of the gospel as a traveling companion with Paul. A very much relied upon companion of Paul. But the point that Paul is making to him is simply this. Timothy, you need to be ready to do this. You need to be committed to the fact that you will always be ready to perform and to use the gifts that you have. All of us have certain abilities, certain talents. The question is, are we devoted to the use of those abilities? In the words of that Sean Connery movie, what are you prepared to do? To what extent are you willing to go in the use of your talents? Or will we be like Peter? Well, what about him? Or what about her? They're not doing what they ought to be doing. They're not using their abilities and talents. Okay, that may be right. And it may very well be that they need to be confronted about that. But none of that has anything to do with whether or not I am doing what I can do in the use of my talents and my abilities. I mean, are we really going to come to the point where we say, okay, I've got these abilities, I'm willing to use them for the Lord just as soon as you make sure that everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing? When you get everybody else doing what they're supposed to be doing, then I'll do what I... Are we really going to come to that point? Or are we going to say, I will always be ready? We might also consider our opportunities to assist others. Over in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, Which, by the way, if you get one of your handy concordances out and you run a reference, the use of the word neglect, the idea of neglecting, is throughout the book of Hebrews. And the writer seems to be cautioning his brethren about the dangers that go along with this. But here in verse 2, he says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Usually the second half of that verse gets the bulk of attention. Well, what is that you're talking about without knowing it, entertaining angels? Is he saying that that's what some folks right then, during that time, that's what was occurring for them? Is it something that might happen amongst us? I'm a bit inclined to think that no, he's referring to the entertaining that some in past times have done. For example, Sarah and Abraham's receiving the visit of angels and the hospitality that they were shown there. But be that as it may, look at the first part of the verse. What we can know for a fact is that we will have opportunities to show hospitality to others, to provide for others, to assist others. Primarily, what is in mind here is the assistance that could be rendered to those strangers who are brethren. And the assistance that could be rendered in the promoting of the gospel. You can kind of imagine in your mind fellows like Paul or Timothy or others who were traveling. They can't stay at the Motel 6. And so they need some kind of assistance and support. Some kind of a network, if you will. And we need, the writer here is saying, we need to be sure that we don't neglect to supply that kind of support and that assistance to those that are strangers to us. We also can think about the opportunities that we will have from time to time to do good and to share. Will we find it easy to maybe be neglectful of those times? Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 13. "Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Can it be inconvenient sometimes? Yes. Can it be expensive sometimes? Yes. Can it be uncomfortable sometimes? Yes. With such sacrifices? Yes. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. Will you and I be always ready to do what pleases God? You know, the question almost answers itself for people who are believers in God, believers in the Bible as God's Word. What are you and I ready to do? What are we willing to do in order to avoid the neglect that has troubled God's people throughout time? Hebrews, again, the second chapter in the third verse, has this dire warning. The second verse says that if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The the word that God had spoken through angels in previous times, in the Old Testament age, even prior to the time of the law of Moses, had proved to be unalterable. And transgressions against that word spoken through angelic messengers and disobedience to that word received recompense. Those transgressions and disobediences received a response from God in the form of recompense. But his question, the writer's question is, if those previous messages of God had such a standing as this, how much more so the present message of God about His Son, given through His Son, how much more will it be that this word likewise ought to be received with great respect? And so the question is formed in this way: how shall we escape? Those who transgressed previous words didn't escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But yet, is it not true that so easily we can drift into what seems to be an innocent and unintended neglect? How can we make ourselves always ready for that great salvation? Well, I think it can only happen with a determined effort that I will always be ready. The way Peter describes his determination makes it clear that what he was willing to do, what are you willing to do? What he was willing to do would not be accomplished by accident. It wasn't going to happen automatically. It required a definite determination to always be ready. Kind of brings to mind the Boy Scouts pledge to be prepared. And the salvation that you and I can enjoy will only be enjoyed by those that are determined to pursue it. The ability to observe scriptures and to perform our duties and to use our talents and to assist others and to do good and to share as we have those opportunities are only going to happen when there is a consistent and abiding determination that I will always be ready. Are you ready? You know, we often sing songs at this point in our service that raise that question: are you ready? There's a great day coming. Even a song that bears the title, "Are You Ready for the Judgment Day?" Well, it's a preparedness that's not going to just happen. You have to make your determined decision and a definite response. I'll tell you this. What the writer of Hebrews says makes it pretty clear that to neglect the salvation that God offers has nothing but tragic consequences. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Don't neglect it any longer. If you believe Jesus is God's Son, if you'll turn away from your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized to wash the guilt of your sins away, you'll receive the benefits and the blessings of that great salvation. And we hope and pray that you'll do so tonight while we stand and sing.